This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, hello there. You know, ready for another hour of fun and frolic?
Fun and frolic, yes, that's exactly what this is, fun and frolic.
All right.
You ought to hear him during the commercial breaks. Oh,
well,
boy.
I'm full of jokes.
That. Yeah, he's got jokes, okay. Can't say them on the air, but he's got jokes. Anyway, thank you for listening today. Hopefully you'll gain something from the information that I spew out here. And basically, this is a show about tips for your landscaping, your garden, you know, what to do with your shrubs, trees, ground covers, and all that. And if you have a question about something in your yard that's troubling you, you may call 673-4464. Ask me what you will, and I will give you the right answer. Promise. Well, you know, right now, this last week we had enough rain to kind of dampen the ground, and it's mm-hmm. nice. I even got my old dead grass in my front yard is starting to green up again.
Yep. Nice. Yeah.
I don't water it, and I mow it maybe the last time in June, and then it just stays brown till it rains again. You know, but
that's all natural.
Yeah. Yeah, but now is a good time to plant. If you're going to plant, go plant shopping. Take a look and see what's going on at the different nurseries and places that sell plants. And the weather, like I say, is cooler, and we've had a little bit of rain, very little. So the soil
still
is
still in a drought, according to our governor.
How much?
Still in a drought.
I believe that, yeah.
Moderate drought. It's not extreme now.
Oh, well, gee whiz, aren't we fortunate. But the soil is damp, and it's easier to dig in. Maybe not very deeply, but at least for the first couple of inches, you can get a hole started. So, and many nurseries are having fall sales, and plants are half price or whatever discount, And we probably will have some decent weather for another month, at least. So take advantage of the fall planting season. And hopefully we will begin to get some regular rain here, you know, shortly. This is October, after all. And what's 90 degrees on Friday or something
like
that?
Yeah, 89. Close 89?
I mean, come on. Have we ever had October like that before?
I don't recall. No.
I don't either. To me, that's August weather, man.
Oh, I kind of like it, though. I know you don't, but I do.
I don't. And this is a good time to rehab your old tired lawn, you know? I mean, it's just been sitting there suffering in the heat and kind of looking
tired lawn.
A little weak, a little tired, yeah.
I thought you said retired.
Yeah, well, I might have. But a good dose of lawn food will feed your lawn until the cold weather sets in.
Yep.
And it will be stronger because of that. And then a strong lawn going into the winter season will be strong in the spring when it's time to start growing again. Because if the grass is dormant, mm-hmm. I mean, the fertilizer is down in the soil and the roots are taking some. But since it gets cooler, wetter, and, you know, that kind of thing, it's not really working full strength, if you will. It's a little bit, but then as soon as it warms up in, say, March or so, end of February, bingo! I mean, all of a sudden the grass is 2 feet long, and you go, what happened? Well, I listened to that guy on the radio, and I went and fertilized my lawn in October, and now it's 2 feet tall.
Kind of like when Grandpa woke up.
Yeah, right. Oh, gosh. But tired lawns, you know, this time of year, that's okay. I mean, there's some people that water and do all the good things clear till it starts raining, and I don't know what their water bills are, but they are considerably higher than normal. But if you let the natural precipitation do the job, it takes a little bit longer, but it's going to be nice. So just make sure you buy a high-quality lawn food with trace elements, not only nitrogen and phosphorus and potassium, but there'll be other iron and molybdenum and all those kinds of things, trace elements that every plant needs, whether it's grass or an oak tree, it needs it. And buying inexpensive fertilizer, and I've said this many times, Inexpensive fertilizer on sale for, you know, 10 bucks for 40 pounds or something is like eating Twinkies for supper every night. You know, it gives you maybe some energy for about 5 minutes, yeah. And then you're going, whoa, what's wrong with me? I don't feel so hot.
I want to go to bed.
Yeah, I want to go to sleep. But Ortho products are good quality products, and just read the label and ask questions of the, if you go to a co-op or a nursery or some place like that, ask the people that actually sell this stuff. Hey, is this any good, or is this other brand better? Or there's usually three or four brands that are there. Some that are, you know, rock bottom, $10 a bag, and then there's the ones that are $29.95 for the same size bag, but they've got the real stuff in them, and you'll get better bang for your buck there. So,
and some of them probably been shipped from China.
Might be. You never know. It depends on the language on the instructions. But you want to fertilize your shrubs and trees as well. And you'll see great results next spring. It'll take a while, but the root systems will store this because there won't be any leaves on the trees, and it'll be cold, it'll be wet and rainy and all that kind of stuff. So the root systems just store it up and wait for the appropriate warmth and soil to warm up before the tree or the shrub or even the lawn becomes active again, and that's when it knows
what
to do. Yeah, they're pretty clever root systems. And just remember that healthy plants and healthy lawns are better equipped to fight off bugs and fungus problems and things like that. And fertilize about half strength to avoid damage to, say, any of your newly planted shrubs, trees, and lawns. You want to go light, and it's better to go light, and because you can burn them awfully easy if they're young and just freshly planted. And like I said, a slow-release fertilizer is best and will feed your landscape for several months. So you're getting, and you pay more money for that kind of stuff, but it does so much of a better job in the long haul.
Well worth it.
Yeah, it's like if you eat Snickers bars all winter and spring comes along and you try to eat a steak, it won't work.
Yeah. Well, have you ever burned anything up?
Have I?
Yeah.
Personally, yes. Oh, yeah. I've burned lots of stuff up thinking, yeah, a little bit more won't hurt. Let's see what happens here. And then when the leaves kind of curl up, turn brown, and pop off, you know you overdid it.
In about 30 seconds.
Well, usually in a few days. It takes a while for the root system's going, what did this guy do to us?
Oh, man.
But, you know, with fall is happening all around us, so we've got lots of color on the trees and the shrubs, and there's some trees that are still green because the weather has been so nice. And so as it gets colder, as it gets, if you had a cold snap right now, all those trees and shrubs would turn instantly into reds and oranges and purples and all that. So what are you fiddling with that? We got a call?
We got a phone call.
Oh, right. We got a phone call.
Hey, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
A couple things. I do a hydrologic outlook, you know, total out here in Looking Glass every year, and I got just a little over 47 inches this last year. So we don't have any drought at all in this valley.
Oh, in that valley. Yeah. You know, I live in a canyon, and the rain that comes in there, the clouds that come in there, kind of stack up on me. So it can be pouring at my house, and I can drive into Winston and it's going barely drizzling. And by the time I get to Roseburg, it's not even drizzling anymore because the clouds pass over so quickly that it goes into these canyons and gets stuck there, which I am happy for. I want that rain at my house. It's good, but I know what you mean.
Well, because they got only 27 inches that they collected at the Roseburg Regional Airport. And I'm going, how could they be 20 inches lower than me? Okay, that's fine.
Well, it's in the wide open, and so the rain clouds pass over very quickly, so you don't get the full mill deal there.
I guess. I like it out here. Anyway, my other question is, my grapes it's like they're taking over the valley. How severe can I get? Oh, seriously, how severe can I get before I kill them?
Let's see. Well, you can get down to, 4 feet. You can trim them down to about 4 feet. You can't kill a grape once it's started. I mean, and
well, that's,
go ahead.
Yeah, I found that out. They come back with a vengeance every
yes,
time
they
I
do.
Prune them. Now I'm thinking I've got to get more severe, so I'm just trying to think of how severe before they just croak.
You know what I've done in the past? I've done experiments in seeing how far down can I take this grape or any other plant, and it'll survive. The ones I cut very severely come back gangbusters the following year.
Okay. Well, yeah. That lets me know.
Yeah. You're okay. Call me with your results next spring.
Right. I will.
Okay.
Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call.
All right. Thank you. All righty. That opens up our lines once again, the number.
Okay. And 673-4464 if you have a question.
Bobby, short of burning them out, you probably can't really hurt a grape.
That's true. Or digging them out with a backhoe. I don't know.
One or the two, yeah. Or both.
But if you look at the vineyards around, and when they start pruning, you can see now they're big, they're full, mm-hmm. And they're harvesting or beginning to harvest, whatever. And then 2 months from now when they start pruning, or 2 months, yeah, say November, December, mm-hmm. and they start pruning, I mean, they just leave bare sticks. The grapevine that was, spread all over Kingdom Come is now only 4 feet tall.
Right.
And
right.
You think, wow, what did they do? Well, they did it correctly because it'll produce more growth. See, you're not hurting the root system. The root system is now fuller of nutrition, et cetera. So the following spring, when it starts to grow, it comes back gangbusters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really.
And the stinking deer can't even hurt them.
No. Maybe an elk or a rhinoceros, but not the deer, for crying
right.
out loud.
Yeah, I don't think we have. Well, I never mind.
What?
I was going to say I've seen a rhinoceros.
Oh, you have? At Wildlife Safari?
Yes, that's what I was thinking. Yes. Thanks for pulling me out of that one.
Yeah, you're welcome. I knew there was some hidden agenda there. But, with fall, like I said, fall is happening all around us, and there's lots of color on the trees and shrubs. They're really coloring up, and there's still some that are green simply because it hasn't been cold enough to stop the growth process. I mean, it's slowed down, but it hasn't stopped because you'll know it stopped when, obviously the leaves are starting to turn and they get to their point where there's no energy going into the individual leaves, and then they start to drop.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of an interesting fall. I've been watching it very closely.
Yeah. So far, it's just been the opposite for my Easter lily and that China virus.
Yeah,
vine.
Vine. Yeah.
And they just growing.
They're growing like gangbusters.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I still got my garden. I was up there yesterday, the day before, looking at the tomato plants, and there's tomatoes all over the darn things.
Still?
Yeah.
Good
they're
Lord.
Just going, baby. And there's potatoes, and there's onions, and there's, and it's not a huge garden. It's been supplying us with all the vegetables we need all summer. And then some. Yeah, and then some, and we still got some more to go. So.
That's right. It's going to be nice weather for it.
We'll be back.
We'll be back.
Okay.
Phone number
673-4464.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Oh, Lord have mercy, no. All right. Well, we were talking about my hair, but...
Yeah, it's going to be pink.
Yes, yes, as a promotions department.
Oh, boy.
Do we
have enough sound going on here? I don't know.
We do. I can hear you.
Anyway, I'm talking about color on trees in the fall
and
planting in the fall.
Some of them are probably pink.
Yeah, right. So if you wanted a colorful tree in your yard, look what's happening around town. Not all, but a lot of the trees are in their fall color, and there's some that are really, really exquisite and look really good, and there's some that are just beginning. But some of the reds and the burgundy colored leaves, if you wanted a tree and you want something, you know, it's beautiful in the spring, brand new leaves, etc., and then it does its shade thing all summer, and then in the fall you got another splash of color, and this is a good time to check them out.
There's just something about those colored leaves with the sunset.
It's
hard to explain.
I know what you mean. But, you know, most of the colorful trees around here are going to be on the maples, the big leaf maples, vine maples, things like that. Sweet gums is another one. The sweet gums, they start to yellow up, and then they turn kind of orangey, then they're kind of red, and then they actually get like a deep red, almost purple,
before
the leaves finally fall off. They hang, their leaves hang on sometimes till January. I mean, that's just how they are. I don't know why.
We don't want to die.
Well, they're not. They don't want to go to sleep.
No, they want to hang on for dear life.
Now, and the oaks, they kind of turn brown a little bit, and some of them turn a little red. I'm talking about the native things. There are other oaks that are like English oak and pin oak that have some real beautiful colors to them. But you have to go to a nursery to look and see, and just find something that you really say, wow, that's going to look good in my front yard or my backyard, and enjoy, because this is, and the same way with shrubs. Not all shrubs are turning colors, but a lot of them are. And it just really livens up the yard. And when all the leaves fall off, then you got what, 2-3 months worth of sticks. And then the first sign of spring comes bopping along, and the brand new leaves come out, and it's okay. But the sweet gums, like I say, they offer like red, orange, and burgundy colored leaves. I mean, they're probably the most prolific when it comes to color. And these leaves, like I said, hang on till December sometimes, even January. And maples this time of year are beautiful, but the leaves will drop after a month or so, depending on the weather. They start to come on kind of yellowish, and then they turn a little bit orange, and some of them turn red, and then the leaves fall off.
Boy, it's colorful.
And some of the most colorful ones are the Japanese maples, and they have the largest color spectrum in that the colors can range from bright yellow, deep orange, dark red, and burgundy.
Wow.
It depends on the variety you get, and you'll notice those real quick because they're so outstanding, and you go, wow, what kind of tree is that? It's gorgeous, but those are the mainly Japanese maples, so... And just, like I say, drive around, entertain yourself, go down some neighborhoods, older neighborhoods, like across the river here.
Laurelwood,
yes. Where they've got old trees that have been in for a long, long time. And it's really, really pretty.
Perfect location for everything.
Yes. And tour that neighborhood, and you'll see what I'm talking about. And and then when you go to a couple of nurseries or Bi-Mart or something where they have trees, you'll see some of them. They won't be as spectacular because they're still in a pot, and so consequently they may not color up quite as brilliantly or stay on the tree as long as they would if they were in the ground. But still, you get some sort of an idea what that tree is going to look like in the fall, and that's good. And this is going to happen as the days get cooler. The colder it is, the more color there is. I mean, if we were to have a frost tomorrow, it'd be amazing what the whole community, the trees would be going, womp.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So, heart attack.
Yeah. So enjoy the fall for the next month or two. But don't forget, if you're going to plant and you've wanted to plant some things, you wanted to add some shrubs or a tree or two to your yard, this is a good time to do it simply because you're not going to have to... worry about it. Yeah, the, like I said, the ground is still damp. It's still, you know, from the little rain that we've had. Mm-hmm. And you'll probably plant it and then water it once, and then you're good till like April. You know, you don't have to do nothing else till April.
Well, you're going to like this Columbus Day coming up.
Why?
Rain.
Good. When is Columbus Day?
Monday.
This coming?
This coming Monday.
So it's a federal holiday?
Apparently.
So everything's closed up?
Yeah, yeah. I never thought about that being federal, but yeah, everybody else gets the day off, but us.
Yeah. Well, I don't either. Well, I'm glad Dutch Brothers doesn't close.
No. And the rain will be with us until they say, well, as far as this goes, to Wednesday of next week. So
it starts on Monday, ends on Wednesday, huh?
Well, the forecast does.
Yeah. Well, they never correct. So,
you think we'll hit near 90 tomorrow on Friday?
Yeah, I heard that now, and it makes me sick. Hey, summer is over, in case they didn't know. Jeez Louise.
One more day of summer.
Oh, goodness. But according to the Farmer's Almanac, and I read I get the new one every year, you know, winter in the Pacific Northwest, it says, will be drier than normal. And they have these maps, and it shows Washington, Oregon, and California. I don't know that it's going to be average or below average, but it says drier. So, whatever that means. Now, they're correct.
Either way,
a long 80% plus of the time they've been correct, because they've been doing this for 100 and something years, for crying out loud. And but I personally would prefer a wet November, December, and January. You know, just get it done. And fill up the lakes, fill up the springs, fill up the rivers, and just saturate the ground.
So just get us ready for it.
Yeah. So the prediction for next summer in the same report in the Farmer's Almanac is for cool and rainy in the Pacific Northwest.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Wet summer.
Yeah, well, I'm having a hard time picturing that. I'm having a hard time. You know, it's going to help some people and it's going to hurt farmers.
True.
You know, with crops that they have to, you know, get out there and till the fields and get everything planted. And then if you get 5 rainstorms in a row, they're
going
to have to replant, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
eventually you run out of time.
Yeah, you run out of time and it's August and it's still raining, for crying out loud. And you think, what am I doing? So if this prediction bears out, it's going to help to keep the fire danger a little less.
True.
And we haven't had a rainy summer in years. I remember a couple of summers we had some good downpours in June and even in July. I remember one 4th of July we were planning a get-together of friends out at our place and have a barbecue and all that. And the morning of the 4th, I woke up to hear rain hitting the roof.
Yep.
And I thought, what in the world? I walked out. It was pouring. It rained all stinking day. It rained clear into the next night. And I thought, and it was 4th of July. I mean, wow. No sense in trying the fireworks unless you do it in the living room. I mean, otherwise.
That must have been the year we invited all the relatives down from Portland.
Yeah, they brought the rain with them. Yeah. Boy, I'll tell you. But it was... It was amazing. I couldn't believe it. And it was, I can't remember how many years ago that was. It must have been, you know, 20, 25 years ago. But it was just an amazing thing. 4th of July and it's pouring? What is it?
Dude, I don't know.
Where'd it come?
And then here comes the fair and it rains.
Yeah, yeah. Now that's been, usually in August, the fair?
Right.
Yeah. And it's raining at the fair. My kids were little, you know, so we go to the fair and it's raining pretty good. It's not pouring, but it's raining pretty good.
Sure.
The kids didn't care. They went on the rides, and me and my wife stood there with our raincoats on and hats and stuff.
Oh, no.
And they're doing the whirling around and laughing, and they're soaked when they get off. And, oh, let's go to that one now.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
We're in the mood now. Let's go.
Yeah, all right. And you didn't have to stand in line because most smart people didn't go.
They didn't go that day. Yeah.
They told their kids, yeah, we'll go on a different day.
Oh.
But getting back to landscaping.
Yes, sir.
Your landscape can be colorful in the winter when it's wet, it's cold, and even snowy. But to bloom at this time of year, they have to be tough. And there are some tough plants, and I'm going to share some here with you that will bloom clear into cold, cold weather.
Oh, snowy and, type?
Yeah, number one on my list is viola.
Viola.
Yeah, viola. Pansies.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder why they called them pansies then if they're so strong.
They are, I don't know. And these perennials are tough, and they're going to bloom all winter long if the weather is cooperative. I don't know if we got a foot of snow that they would come out blooming, but, you know, normal rain doesn't seem to affect them. They just keep going.
They like it.
Yeah, they do. They thrive in it. And you go, how can they do that? But, you know, get some pansies, and you plant them along the edge of your driveway or your deck or along the fence or something like that. They make a very, very nice edge. They're tough. These, you know, these beautiful flowers and the leaves, you know, they don't look real strong or sturdy or anything like that.
No.
Hey,
yeah.
But they're there, baby. They're growing. They don't care what the weather is like. They're just so tough.
And they're various colors, aren't
yeah.
they?
Oh, yeah. Lots yeah. of different color. Lots of different color. And so think about pansies, and you'll find them in nurseries and places, you know, in January, December, January, February, because they're some of the first perennials that people put on displays. And of course, a lot of people are not looking to go out in their yard and work if it's raining that hard. But that's when the pansies are here. And, you know, they like I say, and they'll survive summer heat with a little bit of shade in the, you know, the afternoon. If you can give them morning sun, afternoon shade, that's your best bet. And regular watering on hot days. They don't need a lot of water, but, you know, every other couple, 3 days, you give them a shot, and they'll work. Mm. I've got them planted. I had them planted out in front of my nursery. Full sun, right next to the highway. I made a big, long planter at the entryway. And those puppies, they just bloomed and bloomed and bloomed. And
wow.
They didn't get regular water when we, oh, yeah, I got to go water the front. You know, mm-hmm. It's one of the, oh, I forgot to water for the last 3 days. I better get out there and water it. And the roses did good, too. I had mini roses.
Oh, the roses. You can't, yeah.
Yeah, they were all nice. What, you got your hand on the trigger?
Yeah, we got a break.
Okay, we'll take a break. We'll be back.
With more pansies and roses.
Well, I'm going to expand on that, too.
Okay. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. And our phone number, Mike.
673-4464. Any questions, fair game.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Okay, and I'm talking about winter color and fall color and, you know, getting things that will survive the wet and the coolness day after day. And like I said, I number one on my list was the pansies or the violas, whatever you want to call them. And very tough perennials, and they're going to bloom all winter long. And they make a great edge, of course, for a small bed or along a sidewalk. And they'll survive the summer heat with a little bit of shade and regular watering on hot days. I mean, you don't have to flood them every day, but, you know, a couple times a week, you give them a shot of water, they're good to go. And they just keep, getting larger, growing more leaves, and next year they got more flowers. And they also, in the wintertime, I've seen them bloom all winter. I mean, the rain doesn't affect them. They just bloom anyway. we're going to do that. And they stay small, and they spread slowly. So it's a plant that requires little maintenance. You don't have to worry about them getting, you know, overgrown their area, anything like that. They're not going to get that huge. And then they got many, many colors, you know, purple, blue, yellow, apricot, red, white, multiple colors on the same plant. I mean, and it's in the middle of winter, it's cold, and you don't expect anything to be blooming, but they are. So, and they'll get going, and like I say, they can get up 4 feet maybe, an older one, but usually about a foot is maybe 14, 15 inches, and they'll spread a foot or so wide. And then you got nice winter color. And like I say, they like the they like shady spots. They'll do okay in morning sun, but afternoon sun kind of fries them. So that's kind of be cognizant of where that hot part of your yard is and the cold part of your yard is before you start planting these puppies. Primroses are another cold season bloomer. And primroses are not a rose, but they're kind of a flower. And they will flower all winter. According to the Western Garden Book, there are over 600 species of primrose. And it blew me away. I mean, 600 species of this one flower? Okay. Mainly, they're perennial. And they look pretty sad maybe midsummer, but they'll live to bloom again. And they do great on the coast because it never... hardly ever gets to be 90 or even 85 with the coast that I know of, or even 75, I'm not sure. But they'll live and they'll bloom again, and they're like a non-stop bloomer in, say, Bandon or Coos Bay or something like that. And the colors are varied, but you can see yellow, rose color, purple, white, and some that are even orange. And in my research, I found 30 varieties. So that's a lot to choose from. And yeah. So when you're shopping for them, you've got a lot to look at. And they'll have multiple colored flowers on the same plant. Yeah. Yeah, you'll have some purple and white, and maybe some odd bluish color, and it's they're just pretty, and like I say, they're tough, and like with the cool damp weather, they'll bloom for months, and there's another plant that requires minimal care in the winter and some regular watering in the summer, but regular means once or twice a week. That's all. Just that.
Not a whole lot.
No, not a whole lot. You look at them and say, well, that poor thing needs water. No, it doesn't need any water, for crying out loud. We got a call?
We do have a call.
Okay.
Hey, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. I actually have bought a piece of property just north up by Oakland from you, and I have the most beautiful patch of blackberries and poison oak wrapped around trees. What's the best way to get rid of that?
Are they attached to the tree?
Oh, yeah. They're growing up 15, 20 feet into the trees.
Well, if you spray the lower leaves you'll kill the plant, and it won't hurt the tree because it won't penetrate the bark. And then as the lower part of the shrub dies, the upper part is going to die a little bit more slowly because there's no nutrition going up to those higher stems. I know sometimes poison oak can be 25 feet up in a tree. All I did with mine was just spray around the bottom and spray them real well, and then the rest of it is history.
What's your recommendation for what to spray them with?
Well, I bought my sprays at the co-op, and they have, there's new stuff coming out on the market all the time, but they'll have something specific for poison oak and something specific for blackberries, and it may be the same spray. Just shop in there and ask one of the clerks. If you go to the one in North Roseburg, Mark is the guy to ask. Yes, ask for Mark. Okay. He's like the expert in sprays. And you can read the labels and see what the real strong stuff is, and the strong stuff will go a long, long way. You won't have to buy multiple bottles of it. So awesome. And it might take several sprayings, to get it all under control, but don't give up on it.
Okay, nope, that sounds good. And then, from all your listeners out there, I did say I'm out of the area, but I do have Oregon plates.
Well, hey, that's good. Nobody will yell at you then. Where are you from?
I'm actually in Bend. I was born and raised all joint Oregon, so I'm still a native, and hopefully one day we'll get down there full time.
Well, good. Good.
Yep.
Well, and okay. Well, thank you for the call.
Hey, I appreciate the help, gentlemen.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. He's from Bend.
Yeah.
He's called himself an idiot? I don't know. I don't get that.
Bend is nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well.
I like Bend. I like the...
I thought he was going to say California.
Yeah, well, I thought so, too, maybe. or Georgia.
China.
Oh, yeah. Another good flowering wintertime bloomer is a flowering cabbage. A cabbage.
Cabbage?
Yeah, okay. Flowering cabbage. You can actually eat it, but it's multiple colors. It'll brighten your winter flower beds like you can't believe.
Huh.
And they're very oriental with leaves, highly colored, and they look like giant peonies with deep blue-green marbled leaves, and they're edged with like a white, creamy color, blue-green, and they get kind of rose color, and they get some purple in them, and colors are strongest after the first frost. They're kind of greenish, and, you know, they look okay,
yeah.
But, boy, the frost hits them, and they just turn these beautiful colors.
Oh, they seem to like it, then.
And they're edible, like I say. I mean, it might look strange to have red cabbage on your plate, but they taste good. And they grow well in pots, too. They're just, like I say, a fancy cabbage plant. That's it. But they do well, and... I think they do the best in a morning sun, afternoon shade kind of proposition. But I've put them in the sun, and they get colorful. But if it gets 100 degrees for 5 days in a row, the leaves are large, so they receive a lot of heat, and they can get a little brownish. But they come back, and once they're in, they're in. They don't just die, you know, at the end of the year or anything like that. They're there. They're good.
Around
oh, yeah. We've had them planted at the nursery for, 30 years, something like that.
Jeez.
Yeah. And most perennials here in the Pacific Northwest are very tough. I mean, that's all there is to it. It takes great effort to kill them, trust me. I've tried. I don't want those. Get them. Well, the best way to get them out is to pull them out. But these plants live, and they grow and bloom, not because of us, but in spite of us, you know. Yeah, that's one of my forestry instructors, Lee Hunt, always used that term. They don't grow because of us; they grow in spite of us. Okay, yeah. But what we got your hand on the trigger?
Well, we probably should go into a break here.
Go ahead. I give you permission. Primrose Lane. All right, good.
Primrose Lane.
Woohoo!
Life's a holiday on Primrose Lane.
All right.
Just a holiday on Primrose Lane.
You'll be mad. What's our phone number?
673-4464. Any question, shoot it to me. We're having too much fun. I mean, this is supposed to be a serious business.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're back. And the phone number, Mike. 673-4464.
I'm talking about color things for the winter and the fall. And they're mostly perennials that I'm speaking about. And, you know, they just grow. They just mind their own business, and they bloom, and they're beautiful. And, you know, wallflowers, for instance, it's hard to describe them.
Yeah, but I was going to say, what are those?
It grows out of the wall. No, not really. But they're wallflowers. Anybody uh-huh. that's a gardener knows what a wallflower
okay.
is. And they're very minimal care. I mean, a little fertilizer once or twice a year, and a good soak when, like, the temp's 90 degrees. And they're good to go. They have a very sweet fragrance, and great color all spring and summer and sometimes into the fall. And it likes moist soil, not swampy, but damp. And it needs good drainage. It's kind of a bushy plant that grows 2.5 feet tall with bright green leaves and a half-inch wide flowers that come in yellow, orange, red, pink, and burgundy. I mean, there might be more colors, but those are the only ones I found. Yeah. And you'll plant it with some lilac shrubs or something like that, which bloom about the same time. And at the end of the bloom time, remove the dead flowers, and next spring you'll have a brand new bunch of flowers. Any of these things that I'm speaking about, when the flowers that they're having and they've been on for a month or whatever and they start to dry up, just pick them off. And you just pick them off and it'll rebloom for you. I mean, it doesn't, they go, wow, they took our flowers off. Let's get some more juice into those stems. And they do. And poppies, of course.
Ooh, mama.
They're another great perennial. You better love them, because you plant one, you'll have many.
Oh, no.
But in that the blooms, they range from yellow to orange, light yellow, dark yellow, orange. I mean, there might be other colors, but I've not seen them. And you can see them growing along the road with no care at all, you know, out in the middle of Looking Glass or up the North Umpqua, and you go by and there's a bank and there's a whole bunch of poppies on it. How do they live? You know, nobody takes care of them. They're almost in concrete soil, for crying out loud, and they're doing well. Right. They're just blooming.
And like you said, they're usually orange or purple.
Yeah. And they're gorgeous. And plant one, don't have to worry about planting anymore unless you're a fanatic.
They'll do it themselves.
Yeah. And in your yard with minimal care, they're going to survive and spread and give you great color year after year after year. That's all there is to it. They love full sun. These guys love full sun. They like good drainage and not too much water. And you don't have to plant a lot of them, like I said, because they spread well on their own. And they're very, very tough. And I've seen them growing along roads down in Cabo San Lucas. You know, from the airport to Cabo San Lucas, about a 20-mile trip. And you're going down there, and I'm checking out all the vegetation. It's desert, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. And you're going by, and there's the cut bank along the freeway. And you go, wow, those are poppies. And they're growing, and there's rock and dirt. I mean, there's no soil there. And they're growing. They're growing to beat the band. Yeah. Hey, baby. But they make a great border plant, and they make great bouquets. And if you want to just have a lot of them, just kind of intermittently plant them all over your yard. You go in 3 years, you go, what did I do that for?
They will find each other.
Taking over the yard. So when the bottom line here is when you're landscaping your yard, think about color items in amongst your shrubs and trees. Shrubs and trees are important. They make a statement. But all this color really adds to that whole total landscape, the whole another dimension, and you'll be happy that you did. And just get these tough stuff. There are so many perennials to choose from, and they're a great accent plant to your evergreen shrubs. You know, like plant them in between junipers or mugapine or any spring blooming shrub, and they just go and go and go and go. And one last thought for color. Ice plant. It crawls along the ground. It is evergreen. No matter how cold or how hot the weather gets, it doesn't require a lot of care. And once it's established, it's there. It just does not give up. And it's not fast growing, but over a period of time, it can spread 6-7 feet in a big round circle. And it blooms these little blue violet flowers, just covered in blue violet flowers, and it's gorgeous. And each leaf is like a finger. You know, it's long and narrow. It doesn't open up like a leaf. It's
strange.
It's strange, but it's really tough. It's good.
Something out of Star Trek.
Well, yeah, I got them on the moon when I went there. But you know, like I say, it doesn't require a lot of care once established. Maybe the first year you might have to water it a little bit so it, you know, roots in and gets going. And it's not very fast, but it can sure spread. And before you know it, you blink your eyes and go, what in the world? How did it get that much? And you can prune them. It's loaded with flowers, and it can bloom for 8 or 9 months. Mm. Depending on the weather.
Wow.
And it loves the sun, and but you can grow it in part shade as well. And it looks like a carpet close to the ground. It's a great accent plant. It's a good plant for steep banks with shallow soil. It's a nice plant for planters or pots or, mm-hmm. or things like that. It just does good. So
yeah, I think I've seen quite a bit of that
oh,
around.
Oh, yeah. I planted a lot at the nursery, grew a lot at the nursery. It's easy to grow. when my daughter was doing cutting, she'd do a flat of ice plant, and gosh, it seems like within a week they got roots. You know, that's how they
quick.
Yeah, very quick.
Nice.
And then, when they're from that stage to when they get to be about 4 months old, they're just full of roots, and you can plant them anywhere.
Sounds like it might be good for like a third, fourth grade class
oh, yeah.
project.
And the kids would love it because, you know, they could see, you know, if they planted them in first part of school year in September, mm-hmm. They could see the growth by the end of the following year. They'd be amazed, and they might get interested in being a nursery guy
sure.
or a landscaper or just a plant person. You know,
they've all got a phone. They can take a picture.
Yeah. Hey, Mom, I want to buy some of these for the yard. But it does good.
Did you want to plug the plant sale?
Well, it's not my plant
sale.
Well,
I know.
But Wintergreen is having a plant
sale. I heard the commercials.
Okay, and that's my commercial from years ago.
I wondered.
Yeah, I didn't make that commercial. I made that commercial when I owned the nursery.
Right.
But
yeah.
The new owner's using me.
Uh-oh. Are you getting paid for it?
Huh?
Are you getting royalties off of it?
No, I'm not. I was going to charge $1,000 a shot. But
there you go.
I don't think she'd go for that.
Oh, well, I guess we got to run.
Okay, well, thanks for listening. I hope you learned something, and I enjoy this show very much. So thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Mike.
Bye-bye.
And the afternoon report with Douglas County's news team is up next.